scripture reading tonight will be Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. You shall not steal.
I started up too soon, and Keith looked at me, and I gave him this right here. What does that mean? False start. He took it, hurry up. Forgot Keith, maybe he's not as into sports. I'm not sure exactly. So, sorry about that, Keith. Didn't mean to throw you off there. That's a great song, though, wasn't that? I don't think I've ever heard that one before. Fantastic. Thanks for that. It's my privilege to introduce our speaker tonight. Justin Morton is the preaching minister at the Walter Hill Congregation in Murfreesboro, a congregation that's dear to me and my family. We spent 7 years there in youth ministry, so really, really good congregation. Justin wrote a very humble two-full paragraph intro, so I'm going to read that, and I'm going to put a few things in there as well. Before working at Walter Hill, Justin serves as a youth and associate minister at the Carnes Church of Christ in Knoxville, a very, very prominent congregation in our brotherhood, for 12 years, as an adjunct teacher at the Southeastern Institute of Biblical Studies. Sorry. He spent 5.5 years working at the Church Street Church of Christ. That's a good place for a church, on Church Street in Lewisburg, Tennessee. So that's 17 and a half years, right, in youth ministry. You know what I call that? A rookie. Let me just interject here. Since Justin's come to Walter Hill, under the leadership of their elders, with Justin in the pulpit, the congregation has exploded. They are growing. They're in the midst of a building project now to expand their auditorium because they have so many good folks that want to come there and worship with them. And Justin's a big part of that. He wouldn't tell you that, but I'm going to tell you that. And kudos to them. And just as a point of reference, Randy Carey's one of their elders who attended here for a long time. And many of us know and love Randy as well. Justin is a graduate of Freed Harbor University, so I wore this shirt on purpose. I found out he went to school with Jill. Jill, what I'd thought, you were 10 years younger. You're welcome. He has a Bachelor's of Arts and a Master's degree in 2005 and 2007. He's authored two books, Help Someone I Love Has Died and Against All Odds. Justin is married to his beautiful wife, Miranda. I've met her. She's delightful. And they have two sons, Caden and Cameron, and he wants us to know this, two dogs, Dodger and Summit. Now, if you were really a UT fan, there'd be a Smokey in there. I don't know what happened there. He's a massive UT fan, so those UT fans can come up to me afterwards and talk that kind of thing. Justin enjoys watching sports, coaching his little leagues, his son's little league baseball teams, and cheering on the UT Vols in all sports. I'll never forget the first time I heard Justin speak, because it's right now. Justin, come and speak to us.
My eyes, they can't always see. Getting older. Getting harder. That number may not mean a lot to you until I tell you what it means. It's 143 days until the greatest time of the year. Christmas. I love Christmas. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are my absolute favorite days of the year. Amen. But I want you to imagine that you come home, it's a few days before Christmas, and you come home and all of a sudden you look under your tree and all the presents are gone. Now, if you're a child, that is devastating. If you're an adult, it's disheartening, right? But that was a reality in Denver, Colorado, on December the 21st of this past year. Claudia and her family were gone for one night. And when they came home, they found their tree knocked over and all the presents that were under the tree gone. And to make matters worse, they had a pet cat, and the pet cat apparently tried to defend the property because the pet cat was injured in the process during the theft, and eventually had to be treated at the veterinarian office, and that was a pretty pricey bill for the family. It was later reported that neighbors did notice two men dragging a suitcase and duffel bag down the road. They didn't think anything of it at the time, but later found out that was probably the thieves with the Christmas presents. When Claudia was interviewed about this moment, she said a couple things. One, she said, "I feel so disrespected. I feel so violated that someone would go into my house and go through my stuff and will take things that belong to me." But then she said this. She said, "Those people who stole from us ruined our Christmas." And I think about those words, and I think about what she went through in her family, and that's not the only time that has happened. That happens all across our country, all the time. People taking things that aren't theirs. If we were to take a poll tonight and we were to ask the audience, I'm not asking you, by the way, but if I were to ask you, raise your hand if you've ever had anything stolen from you, I dare say there would be some hands go up tonight. Some of you have probably had people who have gone into your home, they have violated you, and they have taken what was yours. Others of you, maybe it wasn't your home. Maybe it was your car. When I lived in Knoxville all those years in our neighborhood, the first neighborhood that we lived in while we were there, it was notorious for people coming through at night and breaking into the cars and, well, looking around to see what they could find. They would find change. You know, they would take it. If there was a computer or sometimes there was purses that were left in the car overnight, they would steal those things. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe someone's broken into your car and stolen something of yours. Maybe for others of you, maybe it was your office. You know, somebody goes into your office and they take what is not theirs. They take what is yours. I kid you not, that happened to us in Knoxville. We had somebody that was coming into the church office and they were, my coworker had a cup on his desk and he kept change in it and some dollar bills for various reasons. And this person would come in and they would take from the cup, but they wouldn't take all of it, so it was so obvious. They would just take little by little here and there. And one day he began to notice, I felt like I had more money than this in this cup. And we set up a camera, and sure enough, we caught the thief who came in. They were actually going into the office complex and taking, and eventually we had a stakeout. It was so cool. You know, the church, the elders, we were staking out the church building one night, and we caught the person in the act. Maybe you've had that happen to you. Or maybe the one that really you can relate to is porch pirates. Did you know that Tennessee is ranked the 11th worst state in America for people stealing packages? In fact, last year in America alone, 58 million packages were reported as being stolen. Think about that, 58 million. The total of that is said to have been $12 billion. Now, I tell you all that because I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that we live in a world where stealing is a part of it. We live in a world, a culture where people are all the time going and taking things that are not theirs and stealing from people. The text that we've been assigned tonight in that very long scripture reading that we had was Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15. The Ten Commandments, which is what you're studying for this summer series, where Moses tells the people there through the law of God, you shall not steal. Now, I don't think I have to tell you, I'm sure you've been told this at some point during this series, that, you know, when you think about the Ten Commandments, when you find them there in Exodus chapter 20, you also find them in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and kind of a covenant renewal that's given there. So this one is echoed in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 19. The law says, don't steal. But I want you to think about what it means to steal. If we were to go around tonight and say, okay, I want you to give me the definition, your definition of what it means to steal, what would you say? Oh, well, a lot of us will say something along the lines of, well, it's somebody that takes something that doesn't belong to them. They take it from someone else, right? Well, the definition of stealing is the action or the offense of taking another person's property without permission or legal right and without intending to return it. They're not even borrowing it, right? They're taking it and they're going to keep it for themselves and they have no legal right to it. It doesn't belong to them. We live in a world today where people violate the law of God that says, don't steal. But now people say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Exodus chapter 20, if I'm not mistaken, is in the Old Testament. And if I'm not mistaken, that was a part of the old law, the old covenant that was given. And so, listen, it may say don't steal in Exodus chapter 20 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but you know what? That's the Old Testament. What does the New Testament have to say? Well, you got passages like Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, where there Paul says, hey, let the thief no longer steal. Now, I want you to think about who Paul's writing to in Ephesians. The church at Ephesus, the letter opens in chapter 1 and verse 1, and Paul says, this is being written to the saints who are in Ephesus. So those in and around, Christians who are in and around Ephesus, Christians who were probably some Jews and some Gentiles based on the letter there that Paul writes. And he says, hey, those of you who in the past were thieves, who in the past stole, guess what? Don't do it anymore. Don't steal. Or you got a passage like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he's really talking about who they used to be. Now they've been washed, they've been sanctified, they've been justified by the blood of Jesus, according to verse 11. But he tells them in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? And then he says, people like the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals. Verse 10, he says, and thieves. And he goes on to mention the greedy and the drunkards and the revilers and the swindlers. And he ends that passage in verse 10 by saying, those who practice such things, listen, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Do you hear what God says? God, through his inspired apostle, says, listen, those who practice these things, and I want you to notice how we look at this and we say, okay, sexual immorality, that's a big deal. Right? We say, okay, those who are idolaters, well, that's a big deal. Those who are adulterers, that's a big deal. Those who are homosexuals, well, that's a big deal. Look what he lumps right there with it. Those who steal, thieves. He says, you don't have a place in the kingdom of God if that's who you are. Or you got a passage like Romans chapter 13 where Paul writes there and he talks about not owing anyone anything except to love one another. Because if you love one another, he says, you fulfill the law. And then in verse number 9, he begins to talk about the commandments. And he says, you know, you've read the commandments, right? About not committing adultery and not murdering and not stealing and not coveting. He says, but all that could be summed up with one word, love your neighbor as yourself. And you get to verse 10, he says this, love does no wrong to a neighbor. If you're really going to be a person of love, if you're really going to be the kind of person that God expects his people to be, then you're going to love others. And if you're going to love others, you're going to do no wrong to your neighbor. That means you're not going to steal from your neighbor. So over and over, we've got the Old Testament, God through his Moses to the people, hey, don't steal. You come over to the New Testament, hey, let the thief no longer steal. Because listen, if you steal, you're violating the law of God that says love your neighbor as yourself. And oh, by the way, if you steal, you don't have a place in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. God takes this seriously. And I'm afraid we as Christians today, we as God's people, sometimes are guilty of looking at the commands of God, the laws of God, and saying, well, that one's a big deal. But this one, not so much. I may dabble with this one, but at least I don't commit that one. At least I'm not involved in that one. And we kind of categorize sin instead of seeing it the way God does. Sin is a violation of the law of God. And when we sin, we're violating his law. We're going against his law. Let's just say what we're doing. We're rebelling against God. So you read these passages of scripture and you hear what the Bible says, and we ought to be able to offer the invitation right now and say, okay, well, there it is. You read it. Thou shalt not steal. Let's all sing. But here's the problem. We live in a world today, a culture that doesn't see a problem with stealing. We live in a culture today that has really accepted and really turned their head to the idea of stealing. Over the course of the last 5 years, you've seen a lot of probably examples on the news and in different places where people have gone in and maybe robbed a store of some sort. And they get their stuff and they walk out. And I've seen different examples where an employee may follow them out of the store, may call them out on it, you know, may try to, you know, get the items back. And you know what happens? The thief gets away. They let them go. You know what happens to the employee? They've been fired for that before because they tried to stop someone from stealing. Or I think about the fact that we live in a culture today that says, well, listen, it's okay to steal depending on who you steal from. You shouldn't steal from somebody like you, somebody on your level. But if you steal, if you're poor and you steal from the rich, well, that's okay. Or, you know, if you steal from these major corporations that make all this money, well, that shouldn't be a problem. That shouldn't be a big deal. That's how people look at it. There are people who think, well, stealing is wrong unless your circumstances justify it. Stealing would be wrong unless I have a reason to steal. And in that case, well, it would be okay. No, friends, it's not. God says, you shall not steal. God says, listen, let the thief no longer steal. Thieves, they don't have a place in the kingdom of heaven. Love your neighbor as yourself. But yet, that's the culture we live in. And I'm afraid sometimes as Christians, we fall in this category more than we realize. Because what I want us to see here in just a moment is that I believe this command runs a little bit maybe deeper than sometimes we think. But before we get there, I want you to think about stealing for just a moment and the idea of stealing and how sometimes, you know, sometimes people can steal and it's obvious. It's obvious to everyone, hey, they're stealing and what they are doing is wrong. But then there are other times that people steal in very subtle ways, in ways that we don't always notice, and in ways that sometimes people think, well, that's not really that big of a deal. I want you to think about a couple examples that we read about in Scripture. And the first one comes from 2 Samuel chapter 11, where the Scripture opens there, and the writer tells us that it was in the spring when kings go out to war, but we find out at the end of verse 1, David, he stays back. He stays home. And in verse 2, he goes up to the roof of his palace, and he begins to look out, and he sees that woman named Bathsheba bathing. And he inquires about her, it says. He wants to know who she is. Well, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And in verse 4, it says he sent messengers to her. And he took her. And he laid with her. And then he sent her back home. He took something that wasn't his. He took another man's wife. Now, we hear that and we say, well, that's wrong. I mean, he is stealing something that doesn't belong to him. She belongs to someone else. You keep reading. And you find out that she becomes pregnant and David tries to hide it, right? And so he brings Uriah home. And Uriah, being the great man that he is, says, I'm not going home to my wife when my brothers are out fighting. And eventually when David realizes he can't cover up his sin, he has Uriah murdered. And David thinks, okay, now everything's good. Everything's over. And then chapter 12 opens. And chapter 12 says that the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to David. And he said, David, there was a certain city that had a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man had many lamb and flock, but the poor man only had one little ewe lamb. And that little ewe lamb, he loved it, and it ate from his morsel, it drank from his cup. He brought it up with his children. It was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to town. And he came to see the rich man, and the rich man didn't want to take from his own flock, so he went and took from the poor man his one little ewe lamb and slaughtered it and served it to the traveler. And the Bible says when David heard that, David was angry, hotly burned against this. And David said, that man ought to die. And it's interesting, as Nathan is telling this story, he told David, he said in verse 4, he said, he went to the poor man and he took from him. And then you get on down and eventually David's angry and Nathan says those words, David, you are the man. And he begins to explain what happened. And in verse 9 there, he tells him, he says, you murdered Uriah the Hittite and you took his wife to be your own. You stole her, David. See, we hear stories like that and we say, well, that's obvious. I mean, that's wrong. That is stealing in the worst sense. Then you got a passage like Joshua chapter 7. And you got the story of Achan, who, if you know the history of Israel in Joshua chapter 6, they go in to take over the city of Jericho. And they march around on that seventh day seven times, and eventually they go in and they destroy what they're supposed to destroy, and they free Rahab and her family. But God tells them, listen, the gold, the silver, the bronze, that's going to go into the treasury of the Lord. Don't take anything for yourselves. And we don't read any more about that until you get to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, it says that all of a sudden Israel sinned. They did this thing that was really wrong in the eyes of God, in that Achan took something of the devoted things for himself. And you read the story, and Joshua sends 3,000 men into the little small city of Ai, thinking, hey, we can defeat them. We just took down Jericho, and 36 men of his own men died. And he's angry, and he's upset. And God says, I don't know why you're upset. He tells him in verses 10 and 11, Israel has sinned. They have taken of the devoted thing. And there's a process where they call out, the guilty party, and eventually we find out that it's Achan. And you get to verse 20 and 21, and Joshua says, tell me what you did. He said, well, I went in, and I saw the cloak in Shinar, and I saw the silver, he says, and I took it. And you get to the end of the passage there, and because he took, or he stole, it says, some translations. He has taken out his family, and they are stoned and burned with fire. Okay. What did he do? Well, he stole. Now, his stealing was a little bit different than David's. David's was stealing another man's wife. His was stealing these things that he was not supposed to take from the treasury of the Lord. But in both cases, obvious, maybe more a little more subtle, what you see is the same. Stealing is a big deal in the eyes of the Lord. Because David, what happened? Well, there was punishment, right? He had strife in his house. His concubines lay with his son. You had bloodshed. You had the fact that the child that was born to Uriah or to Bathsheba was going to die. What happened to Achan? Well, his family, they suffered. They died. Why? Because God takes stealing seriously. Make no mistake, friends. When God says, thou shalt not steal, that's exactly what God means. Amen. And to do otherwise is to violate the law of God. So if God speaks so strongly, and if God is against stealing and looks at it so seriously, then why do people steal? What's the heart behind stealing? And there's probably a lot of things that we could mention, reasons that people steal, but I think these are a few. Number one, I think greed. People steal because they're greedy. You know, we always think, you know, you grow up, you think, well, if I get to a certain level, if I get to a certain number, then I'll be okay, and I won't want any more. Listen, no, that's not how it works. No matter what level you get to, no matter how much you succeed, you always want more. It's called greed. Or what about those who are discontent? They steal because they're discontent with what they have. I think about children. You ever seen a child when they have a toy? Man, they're happy and they're playing until they look up and they see another child with another toy. And what happens in that moment? I don't want this toy anymore. I want that toy. They're no longer satisfied with what they have. We learn that. We do that as babies, and a lot of us never grow out of it. We become discontent with the things that we have, and we're always desiring more. Or what about the idea of entitlement? The idea of, well, I'm entitled. I deserve this. That's why I steal. Some people, maybe because of some injustice that has been done to me, that's why I'm going to steal, because I deserve this. So they steal. Other people, I think, steal because of a lack of trust or a lack of faith. They're so worried about not having and that their needs won't be provided for that I'll just disregard the law of God, and I'll do what he tells me not to. That's a lack of trust. That's a lack of faith. Why do people steal? There's a lot of reasons. But ultimately, when we steal, we violate the law of God. Now, let's think about this for just a moment. Because we hear this command, and I think it's easy for us to think, well, I'd never do that. I mean, that's not who I am. I'm not going to take something from someone else. I'm not going to take someone else's property, something that belongs to them, without asking. I'd never do that. But let me tell you, I think this command goes deeper than what we realize, and we can be guilty of breaking this command sometimes in ways that we don't even realize. Obviously, the most obvious reason or way that we break this command is through theft, right? Taking that which doesn't belong to us. And what did it say in Ephesians 4:28? Let the thief no longer steal. We're not to steal. I think about our kids who are going back to school. You know, we talked about that this morning at Walter Hill. They're going back to school, and they're going to find themselves in certain situations. And one of the situations that always comes up when you're in school is cheating. Cheating. Copying someone's homework, cheating on a test, looking over at your neighbor because you have better eyes than I do and you can see what their paper says. You know, cheating is a form of stealing. Amen. It is a form of taking what is not yours. And our young people need to know this. They need to be taught this, that when they cheat, they are violating the law of God and it shouldn't be tolerated. Or what about digital theft? She wouldn't go here. When I was growing up, the big thing was downloading illegal music. And some of you may remember ways that you could do that back, you know, 20, 25 years ago, how we could go in and you could illegally download. And it became a big deal to the point that there were court hearings over this. And people had to pay a lot of money because they stole music. Well, I was just downloading it because I found a way to download it for free. That's stealing. Nowadays, it's streaming. It's, you know, when someone streams something illegally and I participate in that, I am guilty of violating the law of God that says, do not steal. And as a child of God, I need to be mindful of that. So obviously, there's theft. There's also business dealings. And what I mean by that is tomorrow, a lot of you are probably going to work. And you've got an employer who's over you and you work for them and they give you a paycheck. And sometimes we can be guilty of stealing from our employer. We can be guilty of maybe falsifying our timesheet. Right? We can be guilty of maybe, okay, I'm not going to falsify my timesheet, but you know, I'm there for 8 or 9 hours a day, but I'm not going to work for 8 or 9 hours a day. I mean, we all probably know people like that, right? They're working as long as the boss is walking by and looking at everybody, but the moment the boss isn't paying attention, they're doing their own thing and still collecting a paycheck. Listen, when we do that, that's stealing. Amen. Titus chapter 2, listen to what Paul says. Bondservants, now that, again, for us, we're like, well, I'm not a bondservant. Okay, put the word employee there. Okay, employees, bondservants, you are to be submissive to your masters, to your employers in everything. You're to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that in everything you may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. Not pilfering, not stealing. Paul says don't do it. As a bondservant, don't steal from your master. We need to be mindful of that. As Christians, as children of God. I think about when it comes to taxes. I don't enjoy taxes, do you? That's a thorn in my flesh. I think it is for a lot of people. But there are people, Christian people, who will falsify their tax returns, who rely on their tax returns, who will not report all the income, perhaps, that they have. And I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 22 when they came to him. They're trying to trap Jesus, but they say, hey, Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And you remember what Jesus said in verse 21? Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that belong to God. As a child of God, I need to be giving to Caesar what belongs to him. And as a child of God, I don't need to be falsifying. I don't need to be lying. I don't need to be leaving stuff out, trying to save me money. They won't know. They may not know, but Almighty God does. And Almighty God says, do not steal. Or what about unfair pay? If you're an employer or maybe you hire somebody to do some work for you, you know, payments that it's due people who've worked for it. James chapter 5, James is giving a warning to the rich, and he tells him, hey, listen, the wages that you have held back, he said, they're crying out right now. The people that you've mistreated, that you owed a certain amount of money, and you failed to pay, or you inadequately paid them, he said, it's crying out against you. And as a child of God, as an employer, a person who hires somebody to do some work, I better be careful and make sure that I'm giving adequate pay to those individuals. Why? I don't want to give them much. God says, don't steal. You pay what is fair. You pay for the labor that has been done for you. Now, these are ways. There's others that you could mention that we could talk about. We can get into to various things, but I want to spend just a few minutes talking about this next one because I believe this next one is the one that applies to all of us. And it's the idea of robbing the Lord. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, Malachi asks the question and says, will anybody rob God? See, apparently the people were. They were robbing God through their tithes and through their giving and holding back on God. And sometimes, as Christians, we can be guilty of robbing or stealing from God. Think about the obvious is in our giving, in maybe we'd say our lack of giving. This morning we gathered together, and one of the acts of worship is that on the first day of the week we come together and we give back, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. We talk about how we give as we have prospered. And while, yes, I understand we don't have a certain percentage in the New Testament that says, hey, you have to give this much. We do have a passage like 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 that says, whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Amen. And each man must decide in his heart what he is going to give. But he says, do it not reluctantly and not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And there are Christians who are robbing God because they are not giving God their first fruits. Amen. They are giving God their leftovers. And God calls us to give him our first fruits. We can rob God through our giving. We can also rob God through our talents. Matthew 25, Jesus tells the story of the man who gives his servants five talents, one servant two talents, and another servant one talent. I know that that's not talents and abilities the way that you and I think of it. In Matthew 25, it's a weight of measurement, you know, gold, silver, things of that nature. But the idea is the same. The master entrusted his servants with something that he expected them to do something with. And for the one that went and made five more, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. To the one he gave two, who went and made two more, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. But to the man who took his and he buried it, he hid it in the ground, he doesn't say, well done, good and faithful servant. He says, you wicked and you slothful, you wicked and you lazy servant. I just did it because you're a hard man. Well, you buried it. And I'm afraid that there are Christians today, and I would fall in this category. I'm not preaching at you and not including myself in this, brethren, that sometimes we have to be careful and make sure we're not robbing God of our abilities, our talents, the things that he's blessed us with. God has given all of us gifts. You read about it in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? God has blessed all of us with different gifts. And if God has given you the gift of teaching, then brethren, you better be teaching. If God has given you the gift of service, then you better be serving. If God has given you the gift of encouragement, then you better be encouraging. If God has given you the gift to minister, then minister. You don't want to stand before the Lord in judgment someday and him say, I gave you these gifts. I gave you these talents. And well, God, that just wasn't my thing. It's not going to go well for you. Because God expects us to use what he's given us. I think about our possessions. Every possession we have comes from God. James 1, 17, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The blessings that God we have because God gave them to us. But make no mistake, God blesses us so we can bless other people. God wants us to use the things that he has given us for the blessings of other people. So if we have vehicles, you know, that God, someone's got some nice vehicles. Use those vehicles to do good. Use those vehicles to take food to individuals. Use those vehicles to help people get to the doctor, maybe that can't get to the doctor. Use that vehicle to take you to someone's house and sit down and visit with a widow or a shut-in. Use the house that you have to welcome people over, people who are new to the community, neighbors that you can minister to, hopefully share the gospel with. Find ways to use the blessings God has given you to bless the lives of other people. And ultimately, How do we rob God? We sometimes are guilty of robbing God through the very lives that we live. Because we're told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And sometimes I'm guilty of not doing that. I'm told in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, that I'm to love the Lord the God with all my heart, soul, mind. And sometimes I may be guilty of not doing that. And when I'm not seeking God first, when I'm not dedicating my life to God, giving my life in service to God, then I am robbing God of what he has given me. And it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for Christians to wake up. It's time for us to start being the people and living the way God has called us to live. And that's in service to him. So how do you avoid breaking this commandment as we kind of bring this to a close tonight? I'm going to wrap this up. I don't want to break this commandment. I don't want to be guilty of stealing. I don't want to be guilty of missing out on heaven because I'm living in this sin of being a thief. So how do I avoid that? Well, here's some practical suggestions. Number one, love your neighbor. Jesus said the greatest command is love God above everything, but the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, that was a freebie. They didn't even ask for it. He said, but I want you to know that's the second greatest command. Because when you love God and you love others, you're going to take care of everything. Love other people. And when I love other people the way God has called me to love other people, you know what I won't do to them? I won't steal from them. Amen. I won't hurt them. I won't defraud them. I won't take advantage of them. Why? Because I love them. Because they're a soul. Number two, you can practice the golden rule. Jesus said, do it as you'd wish men to you, do also to them. I remember in school, my teachers used to always say that. When I was little, I thought that was a teacher rule. Do to others as you'd have them do unto you. Then I read my Bible and found out, no, they got that from Jesus. Jesus said, you treat people the way you want to be treated. I don't want people stealing from me. I don't want people hurting me, robbing me, defrauding me. So why would I do that to anyone else? Or what about the idea of being, starting to be content? Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Hebrew writer says, to keep your life free from the love of money and to learn to be content in all that you have. That's a message some of us need to hear. Learn to be content. We're always striving, we're always wanting more. And what we need to understand is if we have God, we have all we ever need. Contentment. And then lastly, you want to avoid breaking the commandment. Just seek God first. Make your life about God. Make your life, hey, I want to live my life for him. And if I do that, I'm not going to hurt my neighbor. I'm not going to take from my neighbor. I'm not going to do the things that I know go against his will. I'm not perfect. Don't think, well, you're saying I'm going to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. You're not going to be perfect. But you're going to be walking in the light. And thankfully, that blood of Jesus will help to cleanse us as we walk in that light. The question that I want us to think about tonight, friends, is are we guilty of stealing in some form? Because we read that on the surface, you know, the scripture reading, thou shalt not steal. Well, that was it. It was short. And you read it on the surface, it's like, well, I don't steal. I'm good. Until you really start thinking about it. And I'm afraid that some of us, maybe even here tonight, could be guilty of breaking this command in ways that we've discussed, and maybe even some ways that we haven't discussed. And that's not who God calls us to be. God calls us to be people who serve him, who love him, who seek his will above their own. And that means I'm going to do my best to live my life to not steal, because that's what God has called me to. I don't know what your situation is tonight. I don't know what your life is like tonight. I don't even know most of the people here tonight. I know you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And you may put on a good front, and you may fool a lot of people here tonight, but I want you to know you can't fool God. God knows your heart. And God knows what's going on in your life right now, and God knows that there may be some of you tonight, and you need to confess the sin of stealing because you're guilty of it. And if that be your case, then confess that tonight, and God will forgive you. Ask your church family to forgive you. Ask your church family to pray for you. They'll be happy to. I'm certain of that because we want to do that. Thou shalt not steal. What happens to people that are convicted of stealing? Well, sometimes if it's minor, they just get a slap on the wrist and they get to walk away. Other times, they could pay a great price. It's considered a crime, and they could go to prison. And a lot of times, that's what we think of it. Don't steal because it's a crime. But friends, I want you to understand, stealing isn't just a crime. Stealing is a failure to obey the Lord. That's what makes it wrong. Thou shalt not steal. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then I'm begging you and urging you tonight to give your life to Christ, to be buried with him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. But I know on a Sunday night, many of you probably have done that. But maybe as you reflect on your life, maybe you haven't been living the way that you need to live. Maybe you've been breaking this commandment we've talked about tonight. Or maybe there's something else in your life going on. Maybe you're just not walking in step with the will of God, and you want to confess that tonight. And you want the prayers of your family here at Laverne to help you to be bolder, to be more faithful to the Lord. Then we want to pray for you tonight. Or maybe you're here tonight and you're just struggling. The beautiful thing about the family of God is we always have people who will go before his throne on our behalf. And we'd be honored to do that for you tonight if that be your need. Whatever it is tonight, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.